Well, good afternoon, everybody, from an absolutely gorgeous west of Ireland. Been so lucky, you know, with the autumn so far. Well, now it's winter, of course, because autumn finished on the 31st of October. And just this dry, sunny weather has meant a much shorter winter for everyone here. Because normally, you know, the winters can be quite wet and cold in Ireland. Having said that, of course, there are days that are just spectacularly gorgeous all the way through the winter, and they come as sort of unexpected little diamonds, little pearls, you know. So I'm looking out the window here and I'm watching these little birds flit backwards and forwards onto the Leicestria pomosa, eating the berries. And there's a blue sky. There's also a rain cloud, well, what looks like a rain cloud. It's not promised to rain until tomorrow, so that'll probably just skim over. I was taking my grandson over to Mohill this morning, and because he's doing a little computer course over there, so I drive him over there in the morning. And he usually hitches back. It's about 15 miles or something like that. But coming back, I was skirting along this, just around the edge of the lake. Just trying to remember exactly what part of the journey it was at. It was somewhere near Kesharagan. And you had this beautiful lake, and of course, just the most gorgeous morning, you know, the sun shining, there was a little bit of frost on the grass, there was horses in the fields, and the steam was rising off their backs. You know, it was just one of those beautiful mornings, and I saw three beautiful swans. Now, swans seem to be making their presence felt in my life recently, and I will have to look into Celtic mythology and read up about them, because everything is significant. Believe me, everything is significant in this life. In this journey that you are on, that I am on, everything that happens, everything you see, everything you hear or feel is significant. When swans are flying, their long, long necks are right out very, very straight, and their bodies are very straight. So they just look amazing. And they were sort of just below my eye level, because the lake was below the road. So I pulled the car in because I just had to. I just had to watch these incredibly magnificent creatures in flight, and they skimmed over the lake, because they took off from about the middle of the lake, and they skimmed over it, and they started their ascent, and up very, very slowly, because they're very heavy, dense creatures, you know, and so it must be an enormous exertion for them to even make lift off. And they looked a bit like Concorde, you know, just that incredible sort of front to them, you know, as they took off. And they started to rise and they caught the sun, and I almost swooned. I was glad that I pulled in, because I almost swooned, and then I just started to cry. I just wept, unashamedly wept. And I watched them as they just flew up along the valley, disappearing. And as fast as I started crying, I stopped. It was literally, it wasn't an emotional reaction to the swans. it was as though my heart just opened to the experience, and when the experience had finished, it just closed up again. It was amazing. Now, the reason why I'm recounting this experience of mine this morning is because I wanted to ask you, are you experiencing similar manifestations of overwhelming feeling? I won't say emotion, because emotion means something that's triggered within you. This is like beyond my control. It's just an experience that my body reacts to, and I don't feel, you know, sad or happy or any of those emotions. I just feel totally overwhelmed. So, as I said, I'm telling you this because I wanted to ask you, do you have similar experiences? Because from what I can gather, and as you know, I live here on my own, and I don't have television. I very rarely have the radio on. I play music, like I've been doing this morning, because I've been working. But I'm outside a lot, and I'm very open to Mother Earth and that sense of connectedness. And I want to know, is there anyone out there who's experiencing this? This has got to be part of what is referred to as the awakening. There is something incredibly magical and wonderful happening. For example, I had a garden visitor last week, and you know, I've had lots of garden visitors that I've actually forgotten that I had said yes to. And this lovely, lovely man turned up. And he was visiting from France, although he's Irish, he's visiting from France. And I thought, who is this person, you know? And then he explained, oh, I did actually email you, I spoke with you, whatever, whatever. And I, just then, of course, the penny dropped, didn't it? And I thought, Colette, where are you at? Your head's in the clouds. So anyway, again, look, I'm wandering off. Could someone please shout, stop, come back on track. So, as I was walking around the garden, talking with this lovely man, he asked me, he said, what do you think is going to happen? Because I feel pessimistic. I feel that we're destroying our world. You know, what on earth are we going to leave our children? What's going to happen? This is awful. This is dreadful. And I turned round and I looked at him and I just started laughing. And it really wasn't me speaking, because I just felt this incredible joy come up through my body from my feet upwards. And I just said, I don't know what you're worried about. Mother Earth is Mother Earth. Here she is. Look at this. Look at this. Look at what's happened here in 12 years. She's gone from absolute abysmal grey monoculture, imprisoned in that, to an explosion of colour and growth and birdsong and frogs and toads and foxes and badgers and, you know, butterflies and bees. And it's because this place really is amazing. And if you've visited this place, you will know, okay? I said, there is this huge awakening going on, and people are becoming reconnected to Mother Earth. And within that reconnection lies so much hope, so much hope. Because 12 years ago, at the beginning of the Belt and the Project, I felt quite isolated. I felt alone. But I just kept doing what I intuitively, crazily felt was the right thing to do. And, you know, my family really did think that I was mad. If I am mad, then hey, it's great. I'd recommend it to anyone. But I said to this lovely guy, I said, look, I feel more optimistic now about the future of this beautiful planet than what I've ever felt before. I don't know about the human race. Look at, we're born, we live, we die. According to the powers that be. But nothing is linear, okay? Everything is circular. So, you work it out. As for Mother Earth, it behoves each and every one of us to leave a little bit of reconstituted paradise behind us. However we do that, however we manage to do that, whether we have land or we don't have land, whether we live in a high-rise apartment or, you know, a big house in the suburbs, it matters not. It matters not. What matters is how we live with Mother Earth now. You think that Mother Earth isn't aware of you? She's aware of every little bit of life on her. Say on her because the human race are on her. We need to be with her. We need to be absolutely tuned in and connected. That's what we leave behind. That makes our human journey worthwhile. To connect with her. So when our bodies fail us and they, you know, our bodies, my body becomes diminished, it becomes old, it becomes, you know, towards the end of its allotted years. But my spirit has connected with Mother Earth. So it's kind of formed a bridge, something that I can cross. I don't know if any of this is making any sense to you. I don't know if you're sat there saying, oh, what a load of old rollocks. I think 12 years ago, if I'd have listened to me now, I'd have said that. But my experience is here. Changed me completely. And now with this spontaneous reaction to aspects of life on Mother Earth, it's kind of amazing because I can almost feel my heart just open, you know, like some double doors. And this experience that I'm seeing and hearing and feeling and tasting and smelling, it's all there. It's like just absolutely bombarding the senses. And it just overwhelms me. So, life is very interesting. I talked with my mother a lot before she died. Before her body died. Because I continued to talk to her now. She's just not in the physical realm. And you know, we are so damned arrogant. The human race is so arrogant. We think that we are, you know, the only important species on Earth, and we know everything, and we have everything plotted out, and we're able to say very definitively, well, this is this, and this is this, and this is this, and that is that, and oh God, such arrogance. Such utter arrogance. You know what I've learned here at Beltana? I've learned to simply experience things rather than try to box them up and package them and say, oh, this is this, look, I know this. I know nothing. I know nothing. I know what I've been taught. I know what I've read. I know the experiences I've had within the human world. At least I think I know. Because do you know something? Over the past few years, a lot of what I thought I knew has turned out to be complete rollocks. Really, it has. We're fed so much tripe. I bought a newspaper this morning. Sometimes, you know, if I've got a little bit of money in my purse, I can be extremely foolish with it. Okay, but anyway, it will go to help light the fire, I suppose. But I bought this paper. I'm not going to say which one it was. But I got home and I made a pot of coffee and I sat down with this paper and I started, well, I would say reading it, but it was more kind of big headlines, big photographs and big names. And I got to this part, it was to do with entertainment or something. You know, entertainment, of course, usually means the TV. And the writer was talking about, or was kind of writing about, these celebrities, okay, who were going to take part in something in the jungle, I don't know, some kind of a jungle thing, a jungle test or something, some program. Anyway, so it listed these celebs and photographs, and I looked from one to the other, scrutinizing all these photographs as I went, scrutinizing the names. Did I know one of them? Not at all. I didn't know one of them. I didn't know one of them. So if one of them or all of them came and knocked on my door and said, we're very important people, we're celebrities, I'd say, well, there's Jack, look, and he's a really important dog, he's a celebrity. Because I wouldn't know them. So that, so you see all this thing about what we know and what we don't know? We know nothing. Or as Manuel and Fawlty Towers used to say, I know nothing. Now there's a good series to watch. So, I've made my second cup of coffee, or should I say pot of coffee today. I'm on a bit of a roll here. It's lovely. I actually ground some coffee beans. I was, I must tell you, I was up in Asda, I think it was about 2 weeks ago. This is Asda in Enniskillen. And, you know, despite the fact that I am a most impoverished woman, okay, in that I've got virtually no savings, I have a small pot. It gets to a certain amount and then it empties. There's a hole in it somewhere. But my children always accuse me of being a little bit grand. Okay. Well, all I have to say on that score is one must keep one's standards. Okay. Doesn't matter about what you have in your purse or you don't have in your purse. You know, there's no excuse not to have some fresh flowers or some nice, little bits of greenery from the wild on your table. There's no reason not to have, you know, some good tea leaves to make tea with, or coffee beans, because it means cutting out, you know, some of the unnecessary stuff, but just with what little money you have, buy quality stuff wherever you can. But anyway, I digress again. So we were walking through Asda, and this is Asda in Enniskillen, massive store. Now, for anyone who's listening in America, it's similar to Walmart, okay? So, walking through, and I was just saying to Kai, oh, all this plastic Samhain tat. Well, it's not Samhain tat, it's Halloween tat. And you all know my views on that nonsense. So, anyway, I said, now, I'll tell you what I'm looking for, Kai. I'm looking for a coffee grinder. So we went down to the electrical section because I thought they probably only do electrical coffee grinders, and I have all these lovely coffee beans and I'd love to grind them. So we were looking in the electrical section, and then my daughter turned around to me and she said, you know, Mother, I don't know what you're doing in Asda floating about looking for a coffee grinder. Anyway, they didn't have one, and I think that was what she was trying to say. But I got home anyway, and I thought to myself, I'm sure I picked up a second-hand coffee grinder or something similar at a boot fair. You know, because I'm famous for buying little bargains at boot fairs. Now, again, if you live in America or Australia, a boot fair is similar to a really big garage sale with maybe 100 garages altogether. So anyway, I was cleaning up yesterday, rejigged all my cupboards and dusted and cleaned, and oh gosh, finally got to the end. What did I find right on the top shelf in the kitchen? A little hand coffee grinder, which I kind of vaguely remember buying at a boot fair and thinking that'll come in handy, and then putting it up on the top shelf to gather dust, as one does. So my coffee now this afternoon is freshly ground. So yes, I suppose it is rather grand, but if you're going to have coffee, why not have good coffee? So, sitting here, the sky's gone blue again. Clannad's playing in the background. I've got this beautiful stoneware Michael Kennedy mug in my hands. And both my hands are around the mug. And there's this beautiful, beautiful coffee that I'm drinking. Life is good, but then life is what you make it. And as I look out the window, I see a blackbird. I'm just going to see if I can grab my camera and just see if I can get a little pic. I managed to get that. Hold on. Let me see. Okay, what you're going to see is something black through a lot of green. But the blackbird is there feasting on the berries of the Lycestria formosa. And just earlier there was a little robin down. See if I can get another picture. He put his head back. Look for another one. He's there. It's hard to see wearing glasses and with the focus on the camera. Ha ha! Got him. Lovely. Okay. So there you go. How's that? Actually talking about looking out the window, and there was the blackbird, as I've been saying for ages, feasting on the berries of the Lycestria formosa. So on that note, I'm going to just sign off now and see if I can't get this uploaded. Blessings to everyone.